Are you ready?
Yes.
Come on now, are you ready? Listen, I want you to know something this morning. No one here sitting on campus or no one joining us virtually is here by accident. God has a word for us today. All we need to do is not pray, God, speak to my husband, God, speak to my wife, speak to my children, speak to my parents. Say, God, speak to me this morning. And if you'll do that, God will speak to us. God will speak to you in ways that will blow your mind. If you're joining us for the first time today, we're in the third of a four-week message series, third session, about this incredible character named Caleb. And we all know the story of Joshua. Joshua fought the Battle of Jericho, but he did that with, if you will, to putting it in military terms, with his command sergeant major. Joshua said, do it, and Caleb did it. And so this is what we're talking about. We've been talking about courage, and we talk about confidence. We've talked about commitment. We've talked about clarity. Well, today we're going to talk about consistency. By the way, I want to be also one of those that greets all of our dads and say Happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day, and just the fact that you're here. I was sharing with someone earlier, all the years that I've been pastoring, it's an amazing thing. It really is. On Mother's Day, moms go, hon, I want you to go to church with me. So they bring their husbands to church. Oftentimes on Father's Day, husbands say, hey, can I go golfing? Would you let me go golfing today or go with me? So guys that are sitting here and joining us virtually, thank you for your consistency and for serving God faithfully. I appreciate that. You know, when I was a young kid, my brother, Mike, he's a year older than I am. His name's Mike, but we call each other Bud. I don't know, go figure. But Mike had severe asthma as a kid. And because of that, Mike couldn't share in the outdoor activities such as mowing. So guess who that fell to? And we had a pretty big lot, and at first all we had was a push lawnmower. And the only benefit that it got for me was because I mowed the lawn, I never had to do dishes, ever. I've since learned the mistake of my ways. I know how to do dishes, y'all. But I loved mowing. There's a certain consistency with mowing a lawn. How many dads out there actually like to mow? I mean, there's something therapeutic about it. It really is. And you start and you begin the rows and you go, you're just consistently staying straight. You turn that thing around, you line that wheel up with the line you just made, and there you go again. And as long as you don't take your eye off of what you're doing, at the end, you get a beautiful lawn. And I got to tell you, there's just nothing better than a fresh-cut lawn with the edges done meticulously. With the shrubs trimmed and all that, there's just something about a yard. But consistency is important because, can you imagine, and this has happened before, I ran out of gas and then it got so hot that I went inside and I had to go back outside because you could see the difference you got to go back out and finish it. How many of us, and I don't want you to raise your hands, but my best guess is that all of you suffer with some consistency. How many of you, and again, don't raise your hand, have started something and didn't finish it? Whether it been a college degree, may it have been a project that your wife's been asking you to do for years and you start it but you never finish it. Or a project, wives, you're in your home and you want to do this or you do that and you never quite, you want to clean out the pantry and alphabetize. Ladies, how many of you would love, if you could, to have the time to alphabetize your pantry? I'd like to see some hands. Nobody? Well, my wife, I know I could see her shaking her head, and I'm not even looking. So I would love to alphabetize. But the problem is we have a problem with starting things and not finishing things. Spiritually, it's the same way. How many of us have ever started our Bible studies and we made a commitment? God got a hold of our hearts on a Sunday morning, and we made a commitment to God to say, God, I'm going to read my Bible every day. And you start off good. You get into about 5 or 6 days of it, and you're just rolling right along, and then something happens, and the next thing you know, it's been 2 months since you opened your Bible. Again, I don't want you to raise your hand on that. You promised God you would be consistent, and then you weren't consistent. Well, this character named Caleb was consistently consistent. This man was consistent. He would start something and he would finish the things that he started. Now today I want us to turn to the book of Numbers chapter 14 24, and then just earmark that, because that's going to be our focal verse, but we're going to study primarily in Joshua 14. Last week I preached on Numbers 14, 24. When you found it, say, I've got it. When you found it, stand up. If you need a little more time, well, you don't have any more time, so it'll be on the screen for you. So I want to go back to the verse from last week and then build on the sermon this week, a case for consistency. Numbers chapter 14, 24, as we're standing in honor of the reading of God's word, I want to invite you to join me aloud as we read this together. Are you ready? But my servant, Caleb, because he has had a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land which he entered, and his descendants shall take possession of it. May God add his understanding and the energy to follow through with what he tells us to do this morning. You may be seated. What is consistency? I love word studies. I like looking at the nuances of where it came from. But when I looked into it, I knew this had to be my definition this morning. Consistency, by Webster, says reliability or uniformity of success, successive results or events. And here's their example, Nolan Ryan. How many of you like Nolan Ryan? Man, I'm a Nolan Ryan fan. It says, Nolan Ryan, as an example statement, said, pitched with remarkable consistency throughout the season. The second version of consistency or definition is conformity with previous attitudes, behaviors, and practices. In other words, the walk matches the talk. What you've done before, you continue to do. Now, we're all consistent. Let me kind of set the stage here. We're all consistent. We're either so consistent in our not being consistent, or we're consistent being consistent. You know, there's a lot of things that we can be consistent about and be continually wrong. Amen? I mean, we can get in those patterns and those habits. I have, you have, that we're just consistently falling back into those patterns, the ones that we swore we'd never do again. And we continue to do that. We do that with our spirituality. We consistently fall back into patterns that we know in our head. We've read it. We know it. It's in our heart. We shouldn't be going there. We shouldn't be doing those things. We shouldn't be reading those things. We shouldn't be watching those things. But we, for whatever reason, we are falling back into the pattern of bad consistency. And what we're going to learn from Caleb this morning, there's some truths about consistency that will help us be spiritually consistent. And aren't you glad that God is consistent with us? Can you imagine? He said, okay, Jesus, I want you to go down to earth, and I want you to be my translator. I want you to show them my love. And about halfway before he gets there, he's like, uh-uh, back off. I don't know if I want to do that or not. Or he sends Jesus, and he says, you know, I kind of got to rethinking that. You're about 13 years old. I don't want you to go in the temple. Come on back. Right before the cross, he changed his mind. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who is consistently good? A God that consistently loves us in spite of ourselves. A God that fulfills his promises. He does what he says. And we see this in the character of Caleb. So I want you to flip back over to Joshua chapter 14. And we're going to go through chapter 14. And the first thing I want us to look at, and it's a promise, that consistency comes with a covenant. A covenant is like a contract, a promise. Consistency comes with a covenant. Look at the covenant that God made with Caleb. We'll look at verses 1 through 6 and then put your finger on verse 9. The Israelites received these portions that Eleazar the priest, Joshua son of Nun, and the heads of the family, I think it's Eleazar, of the Israelite tribes gave them in the land of Canaan. Their inheritance was by lots as the Lord commanded through Moses for the 9.5 tribes, because Moses had given the inheritance to the 2.5 tribes beyond the Jordan. Now, we could talk about that a lot, but we're not going to. We're going to stay on Caleb. But he gave no inheritance among them to the Levites. Now, that was on purpose so that God's people would take care of the Levites and priests. The descendants of Joseph became two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. No portion of the land was given to the Levites except cities to live in, along with pasture lands for their cattle and livestock. So the Israelites did as the Lord commanded Moses, and they divided the land. The descendants of Judah then, which was part of Caleb's clan or tribe, approached Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb said, son of Jephunneh and the Kenizzite, said to him, remember not too long ago, the Lord promised Moses, the man of God, of God at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. He wanted to say, don't forget what God promised me. God has a lot of promises that he gives us, but it is tied to part of what we do. It's tied to our consistency. Go back to Joshua verse 9. It says, on that day, Moses promised me, Caleb saying this, the land where you have set foot will be an inheritance for you and your descendants forever. Because, why? You have remained consistent. You have remained loyal to the Lord my God. Consistency, we talked about a few weeks ago about humility and loyalty and courage and all of how that comes to reward. But I want you to know that consistency is as a result of our covenant with God. It's really if then. Pastor Aleem and both of I have shared this verse, that 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will forgive them and heal their land. So you see, there's an if and a then. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he says, if any man will come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Three requirements. If you do these three things, then you will be my disciples. There's a lot of if-then statements in the Bible. If you will confess your sins and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. And confess with your mouth, you will be saved. There's ifs and thens, but we have to be consistent and do our part. We are required to fulfill the if we want the then. Most of us would like to have the promise fulfilled without the covenant. See, a covenant or a contract is between two people. God has a covenant with you, and he has a covenant with me. But part of that covenant for us to find the blessings of God is we have to do our part. I mean, how many times that we don't do our part, and yet we want the blessings of God? I believe God's promises are contingent upon what we do. God's promises are contingent upon what we do. So you see, if we do this, it'll happen. If we don't do this, it will happen. There's a lot of responsibility God gives us. You've heard it over and over if you've been to church for any length of time. God gives us free will. He gives us the right to make the choice, to enter into the contract. Now, I know we've got our children joining us from home, and we're back with our preschool right now. They're watching our preschoolers. But those children, those of you that are at home, when's the last time that your parents made a promise and you didn't do it and you got upset? Does that make sense? Adults, when's the last time God promised you something? If you'll step out in faith, if you'll begin to serve, if you'll begin to give, if you'll begin to pray, and then you didn't fulfill your part. Covenant is two ways. Caleb always did what God asked him to do, and he did it consistently. And that is the reason that God eventually fulfilled the covenant. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But it was a promise. Again, as I said, one of the most well-known and most often if-then passages is 2 Chronicles 7:14. So we face the situation that we're facing in our country today. Wonder what would happen if just this group started to follow 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people who are called by my name, number one, will humble themselves. Everybody's got an opinion. Why don't we base our actions on God's opinion? Will humble themselves and pray. He didn't say post. Ooh, I'm meddling a little bit, right? He says, humble themselves and pray. Seek my face and turn from our wicked ways. It's hard to look in the mirror when we look at the world. It's so easy to look outwards, but God tells us to look inwards. And what I love about Caleb is Caleb was confident in who he was in God. He was confident in who he was in God. He wasn't worried. We already have seen. He wasn't manipulated by the popular vote. He stood aside. Remember, we talked about courage is standing on the other side when everybody is over here. Courage is standing on the opposite side of conformity. Second thing I want us to see, that consistency always comes with a cost, our part. Look at Joshua 14, 7 through 8. It's amazing to me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the Lord's servant, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to scout the land. At 40 years old, he gets this direction from God. And I brought back an honest report. I love that about Caleb. He was always honest. He spoke the truth. He never tried to go around. You ever met somebody that always tries to go around and you're like, just get to the point? And Caleb always got to the point. He says, and I brought back an honest report. My brothers who went with me caused the people's heart to melt with fear, but I remain loyal to the Lord my God. What I want you to know is Joshua started strong. And when we say yes to Jesus, do you remember the day? How many of you remember the day? I mean, and you remember, man, you wanted to go out and you wanted to tell everybody about Jesus. You were so excited and you had all this hope and energy. We start strong, but down the road when the real life hits, somehow it fizzles out. But Caleb never fizzled out. Caleb kept strong. He started strong. But I also want you to see, says, as you see, Joshua 14, 10 through 11, as you see, the Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. So now here is Caleb at 85 years old. Do we have anybody here today that's 85 years old? Anybody? Would you stand and let us honor you, please? Please. Would y'all honor her? That's a long time. You know, and those of us, some of us can see it already, and we're getting where we can see that. But to stay consistent for 40 years, really 45 years that we see with Caleb. We can't even stay consistent in our marriages. We can't stay consistent with our contracts. We make an agreement and then we don't finish those. And we wonder why we go bankrupt. We wonder why certain things happen in our lives. We don't read our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't humble ourselves. And we wonder why our lives have atrophied. But here we see a man who was consistent, but it came with a cost. 40 plus years wandering in the desert, hanging out with a bunch of gripey, grumpy people. Now, how many of you, that's your dream vacation? He did it. He heard all the things. He saw Moses get frustrated. He saw and experienced Moses striking the rock, but Caleb was consistent and he kept leading the people. There were many, if you read through that 40 years, there were many skirmishes and battles in the midst between the covenant and the promise and the reward, where Caleb fought many battles and was consistent of standing on the other side of conformity. It came at a cost. So Joshua started strong, but he lived strong. Now, y'all may not, this is a little known fact about Karen and me. We are somewhat related to Lance Armstrong. He is my brother-in-law, my older sister's husband. That's his nephew. And so you hear about live strong, but I'm talking about, it's Caleb strong. Caleb strong to hold out for 40 years, hanging around a bunch of people that all they do is say the negative. Kind of sounds like something I know we've been experiencing a while now, right? Caleb's remained consistent. Caleb lived strong. Caleb started strong. I think I said Joshua, but it's Caleb. Here's what I would suggest to you. Consistency is not instantaneous. It's arduous. It's hard. It's difficult at times. To remain consistent when nobody else is remaining consistent, staying the course when no one else will. They've diverted from the path. Being on the narrow way instead of the wide way is arduous. It's hard. Caleb's dream was delayed. It was postponed. It was put on the back burner. I know some of you have probably experienced that in your life. God gave you this passion. He gave you this dream. Maybe it was God early on touched your heart and said, I want you to be on the mission field, and it hasn't happened for you yet. Maybe he says he's just different desires. This is what I want to be, but it hasn't happened yet. It was put on the back burner. But I would encourage you, when those times happen, God doesn't change. He's consistent, and so was Caleb. 40 years of what I call wondering and wondering, like walking around wondering and then wondering. God, you put me here. Did I sin? Why am I hanging out with all these negative people? I think I saw that date tree, that date palm, 100 times already. Probably did. Sometimes that's us and that feeling. It's 40 years of fighting enemies, and it's 40 years of fighting self. Self-doubt, self-worth, all those things that we struggle with that we don't like to talk about, but we all struggle. 40 years of keeping physically strong. I love this verse. Man, I wish at age 85 I looked like I did and was strong as I was at age 40. And at age 40, I wished I was that when I was age 20. Caleb said he was as strong as he was. Look what it just says, he was strong as he was. Caleb's dream was postponed, but he stayed physically, emotionally, and spiritually fit. Consistency is not a one and done. Consistency is the long haul. As Christians, we're in it for the long haul. The reality is most of us say yes because we want relief from our emotional and spiritual distress, but we think it's a one and done. It's not. Saying yes to Jesus, new birth, is the beginning, not the end. Would you agree with that? It's like a baby. When a baby is born, beautiful little children, you know, they make the little grunts and the, you know, the groans and the giggles. But you would think something was wrong if they weren't consistently growing. We're the children of God, church. Let that sink in for a minute. Are we, are you, am I, consistently growing in our relationship with Christ, consistently following the commands and the expectations of God? It's a lifetime of counting and paying the cost. Caleb started strong. He lived strong. But what I love about it is he finished strong. 45 years of waiting, he went back in, and he was given what he was promised because of his consistency. Let me ask you this question. Do you really think at about 20 years in the desert, God would have let him receive the promise if he had not been consistent? We have an example of that. I've always been interested in Moses because I understand Moses getting angry. I understand him being frustrated. God used him to deliver the people. He parted the Red Sea. He provided manna and he provided quail. He provided direction at night and during the day. And the people continued to grumble. But because Moses didn't stay the course and he let his emotions override what really he was dealing with, instead of listening to God and keep marching on, he hit the rock, and we all know the story. Moses didn't get to see. He saw it from afar, but he didn't get to enter the promised land. Kids, I want to ask you something. What cost or what price are you paying? And I'll just give you an example. One of the things I always struggled with was making my bed routinely. Anybody else? Something happened, though. I joined the military. That changed everything. Because, see, if I wasn't consistent in making that four-corner military quarter-popping bed, my bed got messed up again by the drill sergeant. See, God expects us to do certain things in and out, routinely, consistently, and then we wonder why our life is disrupted. It's because we didn't make our spiritual bed every day. Kids, I challenge you, make your beds every day and make your parents happy, and I bet there's a reward on the end of that. Finally, let's talk about that we have a covenant, contract was signed, if you will, from heart to heart. A lot of hard work went in there. But then there came the confirmation for Caleb. The confirmation was where he realized the covenant's promise come true. Look what it says in verses 13 through 15. Now give me this hill country the Lord promised me on that day, because you heard then that the Anakim are there, giants, as well as large fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me and I will drive them out as the Lord promised. See, the giants never moved from the original time that they were supposed to go in. We still have to fight the battles that God wants us to fight. We don't get to really avoid those. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the land promised. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron belongs to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, as an inheritance to this day, because he remained loyal to the Lord. He was consistent to the Lord, the God of Israel. Hebron's name used to be Kiriath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. He was the giant of the giants. And after this, look at this, the land had rest from war. When God gives us a mission and he makes a covenant with us, we pay the price. Friends, can I tell you, the promise will come. The reward will come. God may delay his promises, but he never breaks them. Can I get a witness to that? We talked about last week that God is victorious. He's the only undefeated King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's never been defeated. What he starts, he finishes us. And he says that we are to follow him. He is our standard. He is our model. He is our example. We are to follow him. We just saw in the video, he's not like us. You know, how many dads, and I don't want you to raise your hand, I look back now at age 58, and I look back on my early years as a dad, and I cringe of all the mistakes and my imperfectness, if I think that's a word, lack of being perfect. But I know that God, when I'm on track, God has redeemed those years, and he has rewarded those years. And today, I want you to know, if you go over to Israel, that Hebron is still a Canaanite city. It's a little north, well, a little bit northwest of Jerusalem. It's currently, let me back up, because I don't want you to miss this. I'm really hoping if we do get to Ogo Israel that we can take a trip to Hebron. Because it is there where Abraham bought a plot for his wife Sarai, or Sarah at the time, to be buried. It is there where all the patriarchs of the Old Testament, most of them were buried. It's considered a holy place, a place of sanctuary, a place of rest. Friends, when you have a covenant with God and you follow through, your work, hard work, will be paid. And it may not be paid in finances. It may be in peace. It may be in just satisfaction. See, we live in a world that says their definition of success is different than God's. But God fulfills his covenants, and he gives us a confirmation, and that confirmation is the promise fulfilled. Now, jump with me now to the New Testament, that one day we're all going to stand before God, our place of final rest. We will have our day of rest, and then we will enter in, but it's that place where all those who have Jesus, who's part of the family, will find peace. And he will say to you, and to me, two things. One of two things. Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in. Or he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. What do you think that's based on? That's based on the covenant that God makes to us, that if we will confess our sin, confess our need for God, we will confess him with our mouth that we believe who he says he is, one day. And it may be a long period, it could be tomorrow, but the covenant will be confirmed. Let me ask you this morning, and this kind of dates me a little bit, but I go back to the old days when I gave my life to Jesus at age 16. I'll never forget the question was asked. I thought I was being preached. I thought the preacher just looked right back at me, and I can tell you with lights and stuff that didn't happen. God looked right at me, and the question was this: if you died tonight, do you know that you know that you will enter into the kingdom of God. If you hesitate, that means God's working on you right now. God wants you to enter into that place of rest. He's made it possible through a contract. He sent His one and only Son. Listen, there's an if and then statement. That whosoever believeth, you got to believe, that whosoever believeth might not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, which I believe is a lot of peace. I'm going to just spend a little bit of time. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we need to ask two questions. So what? The so what is this. God paid such a heavy price for the covenant. He sent His one and only Son. Have you fulfilled your end of the covenant? Have you said yes to Jesus? Really? Or was it just you said yes to some religiosity that somehow if you go to church and you do certain things, you've placed your faith in doing rather than what's already been done on the cross? This morning, I want to give you an opportunity. I think I'd be remiss this morning. If you're watching online, you as well. If you've never said yes to Jesus and truly meant it and knew that it was just you and Him in the situation and in the conversation, that He's saying, I love you. I gave my life for you. I died for you and I was buried and rose again on the third day. And I'm coming back for you. But you've fallen short. If you've never said, God, I'm sorry that I've missed the mark. Please forgive me. And I want you to be the Lord or boss of my life. I want to step off the throne, God, and you be on the throne of my life. Lead me, guide me. Help me be consistent in my walk. May my walk match my talk. If you've never done that, it's simple. Satan right now, man, all the loud voices are coming in, you know, because I experienced that myself. Oh, what would everybody think of me if I said yes to Jesus today? I did that in a camp when I was 8 years old, but I didn't really know what I mean. But people will think oddly of me. Maybe I'm a deacon. Maybe I'm an elder. Maybe I'm a pastor. And inside your heart, you wanted to, but you really never connected with Jesus. You never said yes. Today is your opportunity to sign the contract, to begin the covenant, to begin to walk with Jesus. We talk a lot around here of acting like, walking like, talking like, behaving like Jesus. That's part of the covenant. If and then. God didn't prepare hell for you. He didn't. He prepared heaven for you. But He's such a righteous and just God with integrity. And He's just so righteous that you have to do your part by saying yes. And it's not a do religion. If you look to the cross, what I love about Christianity is that cross is empty. He's already done what He said He would do. Now the question is, will you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to just really answer this question. Do I really know God? Do I really know God? Has there ever been a point in my life where I've said yes to Jesus? I've confessed my sins and asked Him to lead my life. If the answer is no, good news. Just got to follow quick three steps, ABC. Admit you need God. God, I'm so tired of doing it my way. I believe now that you are the, Jesus, you are the Son of God who paid the price for me. And I'm tired of doing this on my own. And today I've been convicted that I've been doing it my way instead of God's way. And that's called sin. Please forgive me, God. And today, I don't know everything, but with what I do know, I say yes. I commit my life to Jesus Christ. Would you do that this morning? For those of you who are believers, ask yourself this question. If God were to label my actions, my words, my deeds, my life, could He add the adjective consistent to you? God, could you say that about me? If you hesitated, that means God is giving you an invitation today to say, God, I blew it again. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And today again, I recommit with your help, with the filling of your Holy Spirit, to live for you like Caleb did, with consistency, not perfect, but with a consistent heart. You just simply need to tell God that in your own words. If you're a believer, just say, I'm so sorry, God. I've fallen off the path. I need to get back on the narrow path. Today's the day for you to do that. If you know that you need to do that, then here's what's going to happen right now. Carl and Sherry and the team are going to begin to sing. And we're going to open up this down front. You can stay 6 feet apart. You can stay where you are if you want to, but there's just something about making a public commitment to Jesus that jumpstarts your consistency. Maybe you want to come as a single person, a group of friends, a husband and a wife, individual, mother, a father, a student, a child. And come, if you're at home, just right there where you're at. If you can, drop to your knees and just do business with God and say, God, today's the day. Father, I know that you're here. You've promised that, and you never break a promise. Holy Spirit, I know you're moving in the hearts of men and women and children, and that you don't want us to leave here today the same way we came in. So God, please show us what we're supposed to do, what our very next step is. Holy Spirit, embolden us, empower us, encourage us, and strengthen us to make that decision. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. Here's how we're going to do this morning. If God has spoken to your heart and you need to speak with God, need to do business with God, come down front. One of our elders, one of our leaders, one of our pastors will then come and kneel beside you and pray with you if that's okay. But listen, I beg you, I beseech you. There's a promise on the other side of your decision today. Will you experience it?